I am so excited for what God has for us this morning, the opportunity that we have to hear from him, to hear him speak to us in such unique ways and different ways. And we are in our last week of our series called Jonah, which we are studying the same book of the name. And it's been super cool because we are doing that same series in youth. Just we're kind of a week behind everybody here on Sundays. And so students that come on Sundays are like, Pastor Gabs, I already know what you're going to preach on. And then I preach a whole different message because that's how the Bible works, right? And it's been so fun to see students learn here on Sundays something from Pastor Kyle, Pastor Corey, and then learn something entirely different within the same text on Wednesday nights, and they get like this really cool rounded view, and I have no idea what I'm going to do on Wednesday now because of today. But it is so cool how the Bible works and how the Bible is so diverse and dynamic in that way. So I want you guys to turn your Bibles or scroll them to Jonah chapter 4. This is the last chapter of Jonah. And if you haven't been here, I understand family and friends are here for baptisms. I do want to catch you up on the story a little bit of Jonah. It's a well-known story, but you never know when somebody doesn't know it. So Jonah was a prophet, and he heard from God. He heard God's voice, and God sent him to tell his messages, God's messages, to the people. And one day, God called Jonah to Nineveh, which was a city in Assyria, which we have repeatedly said how horrible and vile and violent they are. I mean, they're probably the type of people that listen to Christmas music all year round. I'm a Thanksgiving person. That was for you, Joe. Yeah, thanks. And Pastor Kyle showed us that Jonah wasn't afraid of these people, even though they were so wicked. Because Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He fled, all the way to Tarshish, which was the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. And it wasn't because Jonah was afraid, but because of how much he hated these people. Because these people enslaved his people. They killed his people. But God has so much more for Jonah, and we'll get to that later today. So Jonah hopped on a boat, heading the exact opposite direction to Tarshish, which is our favorite word in youth right now, trying to get away from God altogether. He wasn't just trying to get away from the Ninevites or the message. He was trying to get rid of God in his presence completely. And they start sailing, and a storm hits, and the professional boat people are like, oh, I don't even know what to do. And so they casted lots, and they figured out that Jonah was the cause of the storm because Jonah was running from God, and God had sent this storm. And their solution was to throw Jonah off the boat. And so they do. They threw Jonah off the boat. God finally got Jonah's attention. Jonah's sitting in the water, and then a fish swallows him. And how many of you have ever been through that, right? No. So he's in the fish, and Pastor Corey talked about last week what Jonah did in the fish, and what he did is he prayed. He relents. He's like, all right, God, you have my attention. I will go to Nineveh. I will make right what I did wrong by running. And so he gets yacked up by the fish. He gets vomited out. He walks to Nineveh, and he delivers the message. We saw this last week. And Nineveh, the most evil people that Jonah could think of, immediately repented. And we saw this whole city come to God in such a miraculous way. They fasted. They dressed their cows up, too, in sackcloth. How many of you have dressed up your cows? Yeah. Crazy stuff's happening in Nineveh, and it's amazing. It's revival. And if the story was just supposed to be about Nineveh and their salvation, the book would have ended right there because Nineveh was saved, right? But God has a deeper message waiting for us. And so let's see what our old pal Jonah is up to in the midst of Nineveh being saved. So would you please stand with me? And we're going to read the whole of chapter 4. It's 11 verses. Stick with me. But it's one of my favorite chapters ever. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "But Jonah was greatly displeased. It seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Well, isn't this what I said to you when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.' But the Lord replied, 'Have you any right to be angry?' Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city of Nineveh. Then the Lord God provided a vine, a leafy plant, and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it was withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint, and he wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" Would you pray with me? God, I thank you that you are a God that is so compassionate, that is a jealous God that gets our attention when we run away, that you are abounding in grace and mercy. And Jesus, I pray that you open our eyes and our hearts for what you would have today for us, that you'll be speaking to us, using our stories, using our lives to further glorify you. In your name we pray, amen. You guys can have a seat, because there's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of questions, a lot of vines and plants and things to wrestle through just in these 11 verses. And I would love to break it down a little bit more this morning for you. So Jonah delivers his message. He has 40 more days and Nineveh's going to be overturned. Peace. I'm out. And he goes away from the city and sets up camp. And he's like, all right, let's see what these Ninevites are going to do, right? Will his message of destruction come true? Or will the people win God's favor? And when the people are saved, this was the wrong answer to Jonah. It didn't just make him upset because he hated them. He thought God did the wrong thing. We see in verse 2, and I have it highlighted a little bit here, that he has all these I statements. He's like, "Well, God, I said when I was still at home. This is what I said was going to happen. This is why I tried to forestall. This is why I knew that you are graceful and compassionate. So why did you even send me? I knew this was going to be the outcome. So why did I have to go through the storm, the fish, the vine, and the worm?" And this was so wrong to him that he couldn't even bear staying in this world one more moment. People coming to know God was so wrong to him that he couldn't stay in this world any longer. And what does God do? I love this part, because we see God's response, and it's not a yell. He doesn't match Jonah's heightened anger. He doesn't explain to Jonah why he's mad, or explain or even defend himself. He just says, "Is it right? Is this right for you to be angry?" And if anybody has ever been mad at somebody and they're just like cool as a cucumber, that would make me even more mad, right? When we're up here and somebody's still like down here, you're like, no. You need to be up here too, because this is an issue. But God is it right for you to be angry? And we see that Jonah probably knows the right answer, because he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say anything in response. He just goes and pouts and waits for the city he hated to go back on their repentance. And then God provides this big plant to shade him, because it's a hot day, you know? And Jonah's sitting there and he's waiting, and we see in verse 6 that he's very happy about this plant. He goes from being down here, ready to die, to going, all right, I got it made in the shade in the most literal term, right? And he's so happy about this plant, and God sends a worm to eat it away until it died, and on top of that sent an east wind, and Jonah flips back to wanting to die. We see this roller coaster of emotions, and it affects Jonah so much. And God asked Jonah again, is it right for you now to be angry about the plant? You see, what God is trying to do here is show Jonah where he is going wrong. Instead of saying, hey, Jonah, like, you can't be mad about Nineveh. You can't. Like, that is just the wrong thing. Like, these people came to me. This is a miracle. You can't be mad. This is an issue. Like, Because we all know how well that goes when somebody tells you you're wrong flat out, right? Who likes being told they're wrong flat out? Especially when you're up here, right? And emotions. And so God scales it back. And he's trying to show Jonah that it's no longer about Nineveh. It's no longer about Jonah's hatred. And we'll get to that. God is trying to show Jonah that there's something deeper than his hatred. There's something wrong with his heart. But Jonah falls into this trap and he goes, it is. This is right for me to be angry. Heck yeah, God. I am angry so much that I want to die. And God's just like, are you kidding me? And he finally tries to get his attention and he tries to get it through Jonah's head because he essentially asked Jonah, like, you cared more about this plant. This plant that I made. You had nothing to do with it. You didn't water it. You didn't care for it. It just appeared before you, and you had more emotional concern for this plant than the people that I made, the people that are in my image. You get upset when I care about them and show them mercy. You don't want me to do that, but you have the audacity to care about this plant. And we're left with verse 11, which says this. We can throw that up on this slide. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals, because, you know, the cows repented too. And that's it. That's Jonah 4. The question posed to Jonah is what we don't get his answer. That's just it. Because this question is also a question that is posed to us as the readers. So what do we do with this question? How do we put this in our terms? Because there's no Nineveh that's around here, for all I know, right? And we don't see cows getting dressed in sackcloth anytime soon, right? But the story, the storm, the fish, the vine, the city, the worm, leads up to this question. And before we close, before we get done with today, like, I have a few observations that as I've been studying this book for a month, I'm really excited to share. Because it's not just about Jonah chapter 4, but everything comes and makes sense when we look at this big picture from chapter 1 through 4. And my first point is this. God's will, his plan, always prevails. That's a comforting thought right now, especially in this week, right? But one thing we see throughout this story is God's sovereignty, his control. We see it in the way he sends the storm and the fish. He appoints the fish to Jonah. He appoints the vine. We see it in the way the Ninevites turn their hearts to God in spite of Jonah. Pastor Kyle made this point in week 1. He said God uses us in spite of us. And I like to think of it as this. We are not big enough to ruin God's plans. We are not powerful enough. We are not good enough. And honestly, I don't really want to ruin God's plans because I think I would make a mess of things. And this is why it is so important that we turn our hearts to what God wants instead of what we want. To be aligning his plan with our plan. Otherwise, we're going to get flipped and put in a fish. Because we're going to try to do it differently. And that leads me to the second point, because Jonah had to do this in the fish, because when we narrow our view to what we think is best, we're going to miss what God is trying to do. When we narrow our view to what we think is best, we are going to miss what God is trying to do. In chapter 1, Jonah misses what God is trying to do through him. This great city of Nineveh, it wasn't the chosen people of Israel that we've been talking about in the Old Testament. It wasn't the people God set apart. It was a different nation that God used to destroy Israel many times. Isn't it crazy that there's going to be revival in that city and Jonah got to be the one to lead that? That's an honor and a privilege, but Jonah completely missed it because he didn't think it was best. He didn't think that was the right thing to do. And then we see in chapter 4, Jonah is missing what God is trying to do inside him. Because it wasn't about Nineveh. It was about Jonah's heart. It was about what Jonah thought was best, and God was trying to correct that. Because there's something there that God is trying to get his attention for. Week one, we talked about hatred. Jonah hated these people. But I believe there's a deeper root to this hatred, and that is pride. Hatred is a symptom of pride. That is Jonah's vice. We saw it in 4:2. I said, I knew this. I am the Hebrew. I worship Yahweh, the God of the wind and seas. We see this throughout the story. Jonah's a smart guy. He has all the answers. His prayer in the belly of the whale was different psalms chunked together that he quoted. He knows what to say. He knows who he is. He knows that he is God's chosen people. He's an Israelite. He's a Hebrew. He is set apart. Not only that, but he's a prophet too, which is even more special. He knew God. He heard from God. So who are these Ninevites to receive God's mercy too? Jonah forgets what we often forget, is that we too are undeserving of God's grace. That we too have been made enemies of God through our sin, through our lives, through our pride. Because Jonah was mad at God for showing mercy on the enemy of God's own people. When Jonah in the same week had tried to run away from God's presence altogether, when Jonah in the same week disobeyed God and got a second chance, he got mercy. He got swallowed by a fish. God could have let him drown. God could have let him go and been like, I'm going to choose somebody else. And Jonah was still unwilling to accept the fact that God would give mercy to his enemies. He was so thankful for the fish. He was very happy about the plant. But he wasn't willing to let go of the fact that God could give others mercy or even a chance at mercy. Even a chance. Jonah didn't know what the Ninevites were going to do. He had thoughts, he had plans. But Jonah didn't even want to give him the chance. How often have we fallen into the same trap as Jonah? A little bit of my story, a big chunk of my testimony, is that my dad was an alcoholic for most of my life. I say was. We have a happy ending. But there was a time when we were still trying to go to church, when I was still trying to live with him. It was messy, but I remember a time we walked into church, and my dad, I love him. He didn't do things right for some of those people. And he hurt some of those people. But he walked into the church building that I grew up in. And somebody said, hey, in kind of kinder way, I'm going to say it here. What are you doing here? What do you think you're doing here? What? A church person. A Christian went, what are you doing here in church? Maybe in your life, you have those people that come to mind that if they walked in the door, you'd be like, what? What are they doing here? What if your ex walked in? What if your abuser walked in? What if somebody who hurt you walked in and got saved? Friends, just because we are here this morning, just because we are doing things right by coming to church, reading our Bibles, just because we are God's children, does not mean we get a say in who God loves and shows mercy to. We cannot let the pride of our salvation steal the joy of others' redemption. We were all Ninevites at some point. Who are your Ninevites? The music team can come up. In youth, I give 3 points, but I also like to give what's called a big so what. It's something that I tell students like, hey, if you're going to remember something about today, about this message, this is it. And so parents, if you ask your student what they learned in church and they say nothing, they're missing it. That's a lie. They have something. It's called the big so what. Sorry, students. But I want to give you guys my big so what today. And it is this: we need to be as ready to give mercy as we are to receive it. We need to be as ready to give mercy as we are to receive it. Is there someone in your life, on your Facebook feed, in your social circles, that you would think, if they walked in here, what are they doing here? Is there somebody in your life who you have not tried to talk to about God because, you know, they're just too far, or this is too uncomfortable, or I don't think they'd fit into this? Do you hold bitterness towards someone who may have wronged you in the past, but who God has saved? My dad's been sober for 5 years. It's awesome. Sorry, Dad. I love you. I probably just embarrassed him. But I still see the bitterness in some of my family members. I still see the skepticism. I still get put in the middle and get questioned. Is he really okay? Is he really good? And they're waiting for him to fall. Is there somebody that you're waiting to fall? Are you that person? Because friends, God is ready to give you mercy. God has given us mercy. We're all here today. We made it through 2020, right? Almost. We're almost there. Thank you. It's only November. But what about your heart? I don't want this message to focus on going out and getting those others, because if we go out, even Jonah went and saved Nineveh through his words. God saved Nineveh, but he used Jonah. Jonah was used, but his heart was still in the wrong place, and I want our hearts to be in the right place this morning, because God is sending you out. Our country is divided. We see it everywhere, right? It's so easy to look at somebody as the other. It's so easy to be like, you know, I'm better than them because I believe this, this, and this. But where's your heart at? God will use you in spite of you. But it is all for nothing unless your heart is in the right place. So, along with a big so what, I have a big now what. Now what are we going to do? Would you stand with me? Because we're about to go into a time of singing. The team is going to play a song, and I want you guys in the next few minutes to ask God to expand your heart for the other in your life. Maybe that's expanding into forgiveness, even though they didn't say they're sorry. Maybe it's expanding into having compassion for those who don't know their right hand from their left. They don't even know that they're wrong. They don't know which way to go. Maybe it's expanding in your boldness to go out and talk to the other, to listen. To go to that person in your family and go, hey, you know what? You're not too far away from God. He's ready to give you mercy. If you are also here and you may feel like the other, you may feel like you're undeserving to be here, oh, you come to the right place, my friends, because you are worthy of being saved. You are worthy of going after. He's coming after you.
God, we look to you. God, this is our desire to build our life on you, to build our life on who you are, not who we think we should be. God, we want to learn to love people the way that you love them. We want to show mercy on people who, in our minds, don't deserve it. God, help us to remember that there's nothing that we have done to earn our right standing with you. That you freely opened up your arms of compassion and love and grace to people who did not deserve it, to people who did not live up to what they were supposed to people who threw it away, God, and turned our backs on you. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for what you have done. You know what? Maybe you're here today. Church, maybe you're here today and you are in a spot where you are feeling that. Where you look at your life and you look at your situation and you look at where you've been and what you've done. And, you know, maybe when you hear about these people of Nineveh and their evil, it reminds you of your life and your situation. Listen to me. Nineveh wasn't just saved by God's grace. Nineveh repented. Nineveh moved away from, you know, they made a choice in their hearts to humble themselves, to lay down their pride, and to receive the grace that God was offering them. God was saying, like, you guys are a train wreck and things are not going to end well for you. And they turn and they say, God, what should we do? And they repent and they humbled. If you're here today and maybe your life is a mess, maybe you are far away from God and you know it. Listen to me right now. God is opening the door. God has opened his arms. God is handing you grace and forgiveness and love. But you have a part in this. And your part is to simply repent of your sins, to simply look to God and say, God, I need you. And maybe you're here today, and with no one looking around for just a moment as we kind of close here, maybe you're here today and you would say, that is me. I need to turn to God. I need that. If that's you, just quickly show me your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Online right now, if this is you, you can hit a button that just says respond or raise hand or whatever it says. We want you to do that. You are a part of this. Anyone else for just a moment? Church, can we just all pray together? Let's pray this for those that are responding today. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name I pray. Amen, amen. Can we put our hands together and let's celebrate that? Come on. God, we thank you for that. Wow, what a powerful service. What a powerful morning. Let me pray for us here just as we go. God, I pray that as we walk out these doors today, that we would just be more aware of you, your mercy, your grace, your compassion, your heart than we ever have been before. God, help us to tell people your story and show people your love. We love you. We need you. Challenge us, change us, move us, oh God, we pray. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. All right, thank you so much for coming today. If you'd like to spend some time in prayer, please come and do that. Otherwise, you are dismissed.